Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And you?
We're good, thank you. This end.
Yeah. We've been talking puppies, and of course, people get puppies from all sorts of different places, from breeders, they get them from rescue centres, they'll get them from abroad, all sorts of different places. If you go to a rescue centre, most of the dogs, I think it's a policy of rescue centres to have their dogs spayed. But it's not the case with breeders, and I'm guessing it's probably not going to be the case with puppies that are imported from abroad. So it's actually quite important. Important to actually look at this subject and, well, deal with the fact that your dog needs to be spayed.
Well, exactly. We do get, I mean, we've had our first course this last few weeks was our first course this year, and then we kick off again next week for our next course, and we have had a lot of puppies come in, and then obviously within that the novice dog owners, quite a few people haven't done the research as to what puppy perhaps they should get at A, their age, and B, their capabilities, and also what they really want in life. They really, if we're honest, perfectly honest, we just want to sit next to our dog on the sofa and watch a good afternoon film. But other than that, we don't want to go out in the cold and the rain and do those other things. But I'm afraid that doesn't happen when you get a puppy.
I think it's one of the joys of having a dog, isn't it? Watching them happily run around free. Free of being on a lead and free of sort of fences, and just go and run for a, you know, if you can let them off, of course. If you can't, yeah, it's a different thing. But if you can let them off, it's one of the joys of actually owning a dog, isn't it?
It is. It's one of the nicest things. But, you know, the puppies grow so quickly. Unbelievable. We've as I say, we've had some this last term, and perhaps they've had a week where they've had to do something with their kids, and so they haven't made it to class. And the following week, the puppies have actually doubled in size. So then you've got all these things happening with your puppy. And obviously, we're teaching them their basic training commands. But along with that, we're teaching other things and what to expect. So the next thing that generally happens, apart from teething, bitches start coming into season. Male dogs, depending on the type of dog, remember that smaller dogs mature a lot quicker than bigger dogs, and obviously then you've got your giant breeds, which mature very slowly. So if you've got a little,
they grow
tiny,
very quickly though, the giant breeds.
They do. Remember they grow having, quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember having a an English Mastiff who we picked out, and about 4 weeks old, would fit in your hand. At 8 weeks, God. it was the size of a full grown Labrador.
I was going to say,
so they do grow very quickly, but
they do, and they don't necessarily, as you say, mature very quickly because they're still silly in the head. But with the smaller dogs, not only do they obviously they grow in proportion, but the giant breeds do grow a lot quicker in proportion. So, but the small dogs mentally they're getting quicker, and we've really got to keep pace with them. But more importantly, their hormones are whizzing around all over the place. So the males are obviously developing very quickly. They can start mating at a young age, a younger age than the bigger dogs, because of course they're more quickly developed. And then the females come into season more quickly. Some of them can come into season at 4 months. Generally, it's 6 months. More importantly for a dog, it's when you're going on holiday. They look at your calendar, I swear, and your diary, and they hold everything off until that week you're going on holiday. So do remember, if you haven't spayed your bitch and you've got it booked in to somewhere because you're going on holiday and you've got it booked into some lovely place that does daycare or home boarding, they won't want your bitch if it's in season. They won't accept it. So
no.
Best... Yeah, no, absolutely not. And a lot of them won't accept full males. So that would be a male that hasn't been castrated. You need to talk to your vet about spaying and castrating, because different vets have different ideas. There's lots of ways of doing it. Some vets prefer a bitch to have a season. I met somebody the other day who said that their bitch was fine, the recall was fine, until the vet insisted that they had a season before they spayed them. Yeah. And then they said, now the recall's gone out the window. Now, I'm slightly suspicious of this, because I don't think we can blame the poor old vets for that, really. I think it does come down to training. And the dog you know, the hormones changing and the you're not keeping up with your dog, really.
Yeah, I think it's a fairly common thing for vets to actually say, certainly with the girls, that they need to do a full season first before doing any spaying at all. But for the boys, I mean, I've watched the Yorkshire Vet many times, and one of the things they seem to do on there quite a lot is male castration. Now, there is a world of difference between the two. The male castration is very, very easy. It's a bit of local anaesthetic, and away they go, and your dog's done. But it's quite a major operation for the girls, isn't it?
Oh, it is, absolutely. And there's different types. You can do a keyhole one, which is far less invasive, and they repair very quickly. But then you've got to find a vet that does that. So I would say ask your own vet, but then ask around some other vets. You're not tied to one particular vet, because if you want something that your vet doesn't offer, you're well within your rights to go out elsewhere and get it done, or change vets or whatever. But, you know, it is really for the... And your vet might say, well, actually, this is a better operation to have rather than keyhole. So do have a conversation with your vet. Do a bit of research, but don't then go and annoy your vet with all the research that you've gathered, which might not be correct. It's that thing again. It's old Google has got a lot to answer for. We hear it all the time in class. People spout all sorts of stuff to me, and you think you've been online again. So honestly, anyway, so if your bitch is coming into season, that's the thing. What signs to look for? So, because this is the question we get asked at class. Generally speaking, they can look a bit off colour. They can look a bit sort of, if that makes any sense. They look a bit sort of greasy, and their head sort of hangs down.
Yeah.
And the other thing is they can have sickness, whereas they might never have been sick in their life before, and they suddenly throw up, and they can have diarrhoea, all sorts of things like that. But obviously the first thing is that their back end starts swelling up, and then you can get discharge. Now, your season's going to last you a minimum of 3 weeks. And within that time, I would suggest that you don't take your dog out marching around all over the place.
That's an understatement. Really. I was going to say, you're invited. It's almost an open invitation to all the male dogs in the area to come pay you a visit.
I know. It's a very, very tricky one, because yeah, there's the middle section, that sort of the middle week, the middle time of the season where they really are most vulnerable and most receptive to being
impregnated.
But so you could say at the very beginning of the season you could take them out, and the very end, but I'd be very, very cautious on that. And the other thing is, never ever walk them from your house for a walk, because you think, oh well, I won't take them, let's say, to the park, because that will annoy all the boys. Yes, it will. But so I'll walk them from my house. But if you do that, you're literally putting a trail round from your house all the way back to your house again. So anything on that route that's a full male will come and find you. So we have a local dog here that the owners blame everybody else, because their dog is a full male. Their dog goes and finds the bitch in season. needless, it's extraordinary. And you think, but their garden's not even fenced. So, but it's everybody else's fault, because their male goes wandering off. And you think, well,
yeah.
I would say castrate the males,
yeah, definitely,
spay the females, and then everybody's happy.
Yeah. But, I was going to add into
that. I was going to add into that
because we're talking puppies here and getting dogs from different places. That if a rescue centre offers you a dog that's not been spayed or castrated, do a little more homework is probably the sensible advice there, because nearly all the good responsible rescue centres will have done the job for you already.
Well, yes, and also a lot of them, and this is what's happened with our girls, our youngest dog we got from rescue was already spayed before we got her. And a lot of the rescues spay them long before, you know, before they have their first season. They spay them under 6 months. They don't even have a season, because, again, the general public can't be trusted. We might get a lovely dog and somebody admires a lovely bitch, and somebody admires it and it's not spayed, and we think, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a litter of puppies, which is against your terms and conditions from your rescue. But people still do it, and which is outrageous. And the rescue centres are so full. So do not, personally, I would say, do not breed your pet. Leave it to the professionals. Because
isn't there a law about that now? That you're not allowed to breed dogs, are you? Yeah.
Oh, is that? I'm not.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm asking the question. I'm asking the question on that. I thought there was some law introduced that you individuals weren't allowed to breed puppies anymore.
I know they've turned it into it's considered a business.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was considered sort of like a hobby, but it's a business, and all dogs that should. That you or any puppy you buy, it should come with a registration number, and that registration number should be linked to the tax office. So if it doesn't come with a registration number and you ask for it, I suggest you mention the tax office and see what colour they go. None of these people are ever going to do that, I know.
It's getting very complicated. The other thing, of course, is when we're talking about puppies and bits and pieces, of course, puppies get sick. Puppies need to go to the vet sometimes. I think called future-proofing, so that you part of your training, which is not all just about recall and sit and stay and all that stuff. It's also about socialising your dog with other dogs so that they don't get skitsy out and about. But it's also about getting them to take medicine because they don't know that it's actually good for them, do they?
No, and it's this thing that, again, lots of our rescue dogs, they're quite damaged when we get them. And so they don't like being handled. They don't trust us. So if you want to give them medicine, it's a blooming nightmare. Mm. So what I would recommend and what we do at class is if your dog is fine, fit as a flea, get it used to taking pills from you. Not pills that not pills that you need to give, but we would recommend that you use homeopathic remedies. You can get these things called they're sort of like blunt ones. They're just
placebos.
So there's nothing in them.
Yeah, and it's a placebo.
So you can use them, dummy ones, and you can just say you go through the process of giving your dog a pill and the dog taking a pill. And that's probably one of the best things that we've ever done. And when we've had puppies, we've called these pills sweeties. And so as a matter of course, we've just got them to sit and we've said sweeties and we open their mouth and we put them in and they swallow them and it's fine. The reason being is when your dog is unwell, you're already in a state of panic or a stress or whatever, or upset. And your dog will feed off that. They'll absolutely know it. So if you're then trying to give your dog medication and you might be a bit, hand might be a bit shaky or whatever, and it, the dog knows. So the dog's going to think, hey, what are you after here? So they won't necessarily take it. Yeah. They might spit it out. And then it becomes almost a battle. And we have people come to class who say their dogs will not take pills. They've got to do eye drops for their dogs. They can't. It's a wrestle. And it becomes this battle, and it becomes so stressful for the owner and for the dog, it doesn't happen. And also the other thing I would say, that if you're in that position already and your vet has said your dog needs 5 of these pills a day, rather than in your head get so worked up that your dog has got to have 5, just give it the ones you can give it, rather than think, if you can give it a few, that's better, isn't it, than not giving them any.
We find cheese slices work.
Sometimes something sticky.
Half a cheese slice or a quarter of a cheese slice, and the dog will eat it, unless it's like our Archie, who somehow manages to always find the tablet within the cheese slice and politely deposit it back on the floor. Yes.
Yeah. So that's it. We used to use the Dairy Lee triangles.
Yeah.
Because they're, again, not all of those, just a tiny bit, because it's sticky and it sticks to the roof of a mouth. So again, you can put them in the food, but the dog will spit them out the food. But I personally, the thing that's worked best for us is don't hide the pill. Turn it into training. Turn it into, this is what you have. This is what you're going to eat. And then you're going to get lots of hugs and praise for it. And then it's not a drama. So it is future-proofing is hugely important. And similar thing goes for checking their ears, being able to clean their ears.
I was going to say that is an issue because, Anouka's had trouble with her ears for all her life, and she's used to it now. If you've got to put drops in her ears, just turn her to one side. She sits there as good as gold. Archie, on the other hand, well, it's a little bit more tricky, and I'm guessing it's the same with lots of these dogs that have been traumatised before they've actually got to a rescue centre. And, of course, then the trauma of going through the rescue centre and coming out the other side. It takes a lot of patience and a lot of work.
Oh, it takes so much patience, because we are the animals that have traumatised our pets. We are the main thing that of course, the drama, bad handling and all sorts of issues. So you've really got to undo all those things. And again, their teeth. You know, with a puppy, it's easy. You make your puppy what it is. So there is no excuse, really, for a badly behaved puppy or an under-socialised puppy, none of those things. But the only problem is they grow up so quickly. If you miss a week, I can see how it just falls backwards. And you've got to put so much effort in to doing your training and all sorts of things, and the future-proofing. And you might have a week that you think, oh, golly, I can't be bothered to put the dog in the car because the dog feels a bit car sick. Just keep doing it. And it just gets better and better. Mm. But dogs, they like the repetition of you keep doing it. But it's very similar to us with our, if we're on a diet or we're meant to be exercising or the physiotherapist has told us to do a particular exercise that we think we'll do it tomorrow and then tomorrow and tomorrow. Dog training is pretty much the same as that. We always think we'll do it tomorrow, and you've got to do it today, really.
Well, go on.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say, so just keep it going. Anything that you think of doing, future-proofing, you never know what's ahead of you. There's so much to do.
I think that on that note, we're going to say keep taking the tablets, that's for sure. I think this is a discussion that needs to continue, because there are lots and lots of other side issues to do with this that we can talk about next month. So for now, Wendy, thank you for talking to us this morning. And
thank you, Tony.
Good luck with you've got a reasonably new one, haven't you? I think, did you say?
Yes. We've got a new course starting.
I was talking about the dogs.
Oh, the dogs. No, we've got only the new one we got last year. So she's still in training. She's doing well, very well indeed. Future-proofing her good and proper.
This is what we like to hear. Wendy, good to catch up this morning. We will talk to you again in a month's time. For now, Wendy Claxton, thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Bye.